This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let us go around the NFL on this Friday in loop on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Adetula, and Figgy Fig. Fig sometimes unintentionally hilarious because on the text line from the 713, they said, my man Fig said, I done hurt my toe. And that really did make me laugh again.
No, for real, man, because I was walking around. I haven't sat down throughout that whole game because I was walking around mingling and all that stuff. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, let me try it for the content purposes.
Yeah. Ah, yes. Gotta
get that big toe. Man. That boy, it felt like I was kicking a rock. I don't see how kickers kick in cold weather like that.
Yeah.
God bless him.
I done hurt my toe.
All right. Let's go around the NFL where let's start with the thing that I teased. It's something that happened yesterday and that I especially with the offensive line, with the continued feelings of the need to upgrade it and just be better year over year compared to last year. Tevin Jenkins, who was one of the many guards that we kind of looked at as possibilities when to, you know, add in a veteran for this Texas team. Tevin Jenkins has signed with the Cleveland Browns. He was 39th overall pick in the 2021 draft. And so he is off the board. And he goes to the Cleveland Browns, as I mentioned. But the Cleveland Browns had a couple of guards that even last year, when we were approaching the trade deadline, we were looking like, hey, are these guys possibilities? And you do wonder now, do they become expendable to the point where the Browns maybe would be interested in trading? Something that we know Nick Caserio is want to do in this time period and also has the assets for, thanks to the Laremy Tunsil trade and such. Why, there's a Wyatt Teller and there's a Joel Bitonio, both guards for the Cleveland Browns. I don't know specifically if one of those guys, if one or the other becomes more expendable. Wyatt Teller is one that I think a lot of people have been interested in. Do you think that this is a possibility for the Texans, or am I just doing the thing where you're continuing to do hope fulfillment or what have you?
We need more bodies.
Right.
You know,
more competition.
It's like, you know, any player gets cut, like, I wonder if the Texans are interested. No, I don't think you're necessarily doing that because they do need more bodies. They do need more competition, but I don't think it's going to happen. I'm leaning now. after this latest move and the Tomlinson addition, that they're gonna get they're gonna fill the spots here with the draft via the draft.
Yeah. So yeah. You're looking at this between mm-hmm. the possibility of Tytus Howard moving in, right? Yeah. If he's not at right tackle and with Blake Fisher swing tackling it up. Possibility of him playing guard as a veteran guard, possibility mm-hmm. of one of Lake and Tomlinson, hopefully not at Ingram, with all respect, rather, to at Ingram. Mm-hmm. But you have a lot of competition to be a veteran starter, and then I think it's still very, very evident that you are likely to have a rookie guard yes. playing as well. So maybe that's not – but I was just like, look, any way possible to maybe add more talent in there, although one thing I will say, Wyatt Teller – again, with the noted caveats mm-hmm. that Pro Football Focus is not the, you know, their grades are not the end-all be-all by any stretch, and they're subjective. His grades are kind of so-so mm-hmm. in the same pocket as a lot of the guys that you have in the building.
Right.
So I don't know, in this group, does adding another one of those guys give you more any level more confidence, or is that just throw another one in that large sack of competition?
No, I think they have that. They have the veteran presence that can maybe help along a young, you know, super talent or talent. You know, come along, and so you add another one. Maybe just kind of murks the water. Muddies the water.
Muddies
the water.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. I figured you.
I was getting there.
It was. You were working. That's why you
noticed, I was on the path.
I let you go a little bit. I was like, he don't get there, because you know what people really don't like is the person that jumps in immediately yeah. to correct you.
Yeah.
It was a cross.
Salute to my wife.
Oh wow. You really love throwing.
She do that all the time.
It was cross between making it murkier and muddying the waters.
And if I say something wrong, she have no idea what I'm talking about. Yeah. And then be like, oh, this? Like, I had no idea what you knew what I was trying to say.
Let's talk about our wives here. All right.
Yeah.
What's your biggest complaint about your wife?
Even if I had one. Yeah. Hey, man, this is going on the internet and all over the world, brother.
I guarantee you the text board's going to yeah. light up. What's your biggest complaint about your wife?
713.
You know what? That's a Friday. Yeah, it's a Friday. 713-572-4610.
Vent to us, fellas.
I got one.
We here for you.
I got one. No matter what I do, and any amount of expertise I have in that particular thing, I'm not an expert in everything, but some things I just know a little bit about, you know?
Like chicken brackets.
I get this. What if you... And I'm like...
She's just suggesting
yeah,
stuff.
I'm like, no, I really know how to do this.
She's just trying to help. She's just trying to throw out other options.
What if you did this instead? Or what if you blah, blah, blah? I'm like, no.
She's just creating competition yes. in your offensive yes. line room of ideas yes. is what she's doing.
Nah, my wife is on the same path yeah. too. And then the thing is, whenever I try to ask her to, you mm-hmm. know, how should I do this?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I'm not your mother. I don't want to tell you what to do. But then when I do it, she come over
what
and try to
did
be my
this
mother.
Instead. No, it would be worse. Trust me. Now I'm like, things that she's great at, I don't even attempt. But if I like I could be, I could, boy, this is, I'm going down a rabbit hole here.
I noticed. But I see it.
It could be like smoking a chicken. What if you, I'm like, nope.
Girl, you don't even eat chicken.
That's right, she does.
That is true, dude. That's a great point. Yeah, see, I see your issue. Like, if she ate chicken, but I forgot she doing. So she's just throwing out ideas yes. just to do it.
Or driving. What if you? I'm like, no.
She's just being supportive. That's all. That's it. All right,
you got to be like, great. Then you do it.
All right, as we continue around the NFL, I mentioned the Browns. The Browns also have another thing going on with them, is that they're doubling down on mm-hmm. plans for a new stadium. Remember that they've been trying to move out of the city limits of Cleveland. What is it? Is it Brook Park? Is that what it is? Our Cleveland, our Ohio?
Yeah, Brook Park.
Brook Park, which yep. is a suburb of Cleveland.
Right by the airport.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. always a good place for two things. A stadium, and then also the Gentleman's Club.
Yeah.
Unless you're in Houston. Houston Gentleman's yeah. Club is everywhere. But in most yeah. places... If you want to find a gentleman's club, just go towards the airport. It's over there. But yes, that mm-hmm. is about where their new stadium would be. And they released some renderings of what the new stadium would look like, mm-hmm. obviously with the entire district, as yeah. it seems like is the new trend. If you're building a stadium, you build a district, you know, for, you know, retail and entertainment and all those things. But they're doubling down on this possibility, with the Browns saying that they'll commit $2 billion in funding for the stadium. But they are calling that city of Cleveland mm-hmm. lawsuit baseless,
yeah.
saying that they can't move out of the city, or taking that they can't move away mm-hmm. to mean that they can't move out of the city limits.
Yeah, they're yeah. trying to use that Modell's law.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So where did y'all's mind go when you saw, because it looks sweet. I'm sure you saw the video.
I looked at it. I'm like, damn, I wouldn't mind NRG having a new stadium now.
Exactly. And it is a sprawling district. Exactly. It's a really big district. There's obviously parking garages around there. Very walkable, which is one of the things that's really cool. And yeah. I mean, you can.
It looked like they was trying to make it like a community, mm-hmm. like just different things to do.
And where else might they want to do that? No, I
mean, they got NRG Park.
It's okay. Literally parked. Parking lots. Like, it's literally just parked.
No, I had big time FOMO on that. And I'm, you know, one of those that has been saying, yes, they need to renovate NRG. They really do. I get the, you know, the financial implications, and citizenry might have, you know, other priorities and all that. But I'm firmly in the, they need to renovate NRG. They really do. But after I saw that, it was just another chip of, maybe they just need to rebuild the whole thing.
Yeah, especially after the rodeo, after the just the way the feedback they got for the concerts and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, maybe if they built a new stadium and make it more concert friendly.
Yeah. We're all suckers.
Reckless speculation.
We're all suckers.
Reckless speculation. Yeah. I think Mike Tolman, the new president of the Texans, obviously this is probably his main charge, if not one of his top ones, or other way around. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
He was talking to Jonathan Alexander just this week. I think it might have been yesterday, in fact, when that piece dropped, about like how they, you know, the commitment to renovation, but open to all ideas. Mm-hmm. I think the only real parameters is like, yo, we're not moving out of the greater Houston area. And I was like, greater Houston area, huh?
Yeah.
Not the city of Houston. Okay.
So Kingwood's in play. Oh, Woodland's in play. Katy's in play.
Yeah. So we could talk about that another time. But yeah, I imagine. Yeah. You guys absolutely went to that place. And that's what you know, renderings are supposed to do. You're supposed to look at them and be like, yo, that looks really, really cool. But yeah.
I think it's always cool just to have a new building too, man. Just something new, something more modern.
It's Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Christmas. Yeah. This is a new toy. I got toys, sure. Mm-hmm. But this is a new toy. I ain't had this one before.
Yeah. And keeping up with the Joneses. I mean,
it's also
every new stadium has that entire district.
Every new stadium look cool.
Well,
man.
Not only that, they not only look cool and they're in a higher grade, but they have that gathering space, that gathering place, that district, if you will.
Yeah. All right, so that's what's happening there. But you talk about, you know, kind of that newness and that keeping up with the Joneses. Well, we can always talk about that when it comes to contracts, right? When it comes to negotiating new deals. Derek Stingley just had that, and I know there's a lot of cornerbacks that are like, oh, okay, now we got to keep up with Derek Stingley on $30 million average annual value. We had one of those types of things with the Bengals, and I thought I was going to have to apologize to the Bengals, right? That I've always called them some broke boys, some cheap folks, all that. The Brown family, I talk crazy about them, and I understand that, and I respect that about myself. However, they signed up both of their wide receivers for big money deals. Jamar Chase, a 4-year deal at average annual value of their $40 million, $40 plus, $40 and a quarter of a million dollars per year. And then T. Higgins, 28 3/4 million dollars per year on the secondary deal, except they might be doing some broke boy tendencies because over the,
so you was familiar with they were.
I am familiar with their game. I was like, I knew who they were. Y'all can't trick me. You cannot trick me because what came out about the T. Higgins contract is that the way that it's structured is kind of interesting. So 2025 offseason, there's a 90-man roster bonus of $20 million. It's not guaranteed, but for 5 days after signing. There's a workout bonus, his base salary. I mean, really, you just look through this, and there's not a lot of the portions of the deal that are guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this, in essence, works kind of like, I mean, you can get out of it. Let me put this in a better way, right? Nothing in 2025 is guaranteed, right? $20 million roster bonus I was just talking about. The only truly full guarantee is the $10 million roster bonus in 2026 offseason, so next offseason. But if he's not on the roster, that's not guaranteed. So in a way, the only thing that he really has guaranteed is the money this year, which was where he was with the franchise tag.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a contract without real like stakes, because if they really wanted to move on from him, which I don't think that the Bengals necessarily do, right, to be fair. But this is not as like as beautiful of a deal as we once thought. And if the Bengals go through a season where maybe they also, you know, look up and a defense is not good enough to carry them where they want to go and they want to reshuffle what they're doing,
yeah,
They can have T. Higgins out here on his petard pretty quickly.
I get what you're saying, but it's also a kind of smart deal.
For the team?
Yeah. It's a good way to guarantee that, you know, you're going to get the best out of T. Higgins. I think, what did it say, only $10 million is truly guaranteed.
Yeah.
When he signs it. But they already franchise tagged him, so they were in for that anyway.
Yes.
You know? So
I just don't understand how T. Higgins comes around.
I do agree with that. I think you could say, yeah, I knew who they were, but it's kind of smart. It's kind of smart from the team's perspective. Like, if it doesn't work out, the thing you just laid out, all right, let's move on. Yeah,
I've just been trying to figure out how is it smart on his part.
It's not.
Unless he felt like he could look at this as a one-year deal and maybe they get rid of him, he go somewhere else, which he probably been wanting to go elsewhere anyway.
The only thing I can figure is that the money down the road, if he earns it, is higher than his agent figures, is higher than he would have made, you know, had somebody trade for him and redone a deal.
It's possible.
They just kept him on the franchise tag.
But they did.
Well, and I mean, again,
Just play on this franchise tag then. Let me get this money.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right. Like, that 28 plus is still pretty high for, if you were to consider him a number two wide receiver. I know there's been conversation of, is he a 1B or what have you, all that. That's fine, right? You can have that conversation. And now this is a tandem that together is one of, if not the highest paid wide receiver tandem. So still, like, it's the money is big. But it's just really interestingly structured in a way where I do have questions about T. Higgins and his side of things and, like, what the inspiration was, or is it just the dollar signs were big enough even if the guarantees weren't there? Which is funny in juxtaposition with Nick Caserio on the Texans, where they've been going shorter deals but making sure they guarantee a lot of the money for these guys. Mm-hmm. And, I find that to be interesting to see the difference between the way the Texans are doing and at least the Bengals.
It's kind of like that Family Guy mystery box thing that you talked about not long ago. You're going to get $26 million no matter what. Here's the mystery box. You know, if you play further, you could get all this money here. He's like, well, I think I want the mystery box too, you know, and so we'll see. But it doesn't hurt him this year. It's just, I think it's more of a team-friendly deal.
Yeah. Real quick before we go, we mentioned, I don't know if you recall, when we were at Super Bowl, there was a reporter that that passed while he was out there. His name was Aiden Manzano. Mm-hmm. At the Super Bowl, there has been a woman that's been charged with his murder. Obviously, you know, there was kind of some details around it, but he was a 27-year-old reporter and anchor for Telemundo based in Kansas City. They found in a news conference that the woman was charged of second-degree murder, and she remains jailed, and there's a suspected accomplice that's also been arrested in Fort Lauderdale on theft and fraud charges. So seemingly like one of those situations where, you know, identified as a target, you know, maybe spend the night or what have you, and then... And try and rob him, and it seems like it went south.
And this was something that she did professionally. She apparently did this a lot.
Yeah.
Well, this one was murder.
Charges of murder there.
In terms of drugging people and stuff, taking their money, she did a lot.
Yeah. Very sad still to have that, but at least that the wheels of the legal system are moving in that regard. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's do a mock draft check-in. It's been a little while since we've done that. I'm interested to see, like, especially now that we've seen some of the offensive line things settle, what are some of the experts looking at when it comes to the draft for the Texans now? We'll do that next.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen.
Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
In the Loop, right here on Sports Radio 610, as I fumble to put my own earbuds in. John Lopez, Reginald Atitula, Figgy, Fig hanging out on a funky Friday. Where are we going here?
This is just Curtis Mayfield, and this song, I always remember this song for being on the movie Friday. This was actually on the movie Friday.
For some reason, this Curtis Mayfield didn't hit me, but I like it. I like it. All right, let's do a little mock draft check-in with the Texans. It's been a little while since we've done that. We were talking a little bit earlier in the week with our guy Charles McDonald a little bit about some of the players that have been mocked to the Texans, but I wanted to take a quick look at a couple of mock drafts, including one that I find to be a really interesting proposition. But I looked at, I think, three of them that have happened recently since after the Texans acquired Cam Robinson to see if I could get a little bit of a feel of what some of those folks are saying about the Texans. And first, I'd actually like to start with Yahoo Sports and an NFL mock draft 7.0, in fact.
Seventh mock draft
from Nate Tice. We heard from him earlier in the show. Nate Tice, again, very good guy covering the draft. And in his seventh edition of the mock draft with the 25th pick, he has the Texans taking Gray Zabel. Now, you remember, he had some criticism of this offensive line thus far. In fact, if you don't mind, Figgy, can you give me here? This is Nate Tice just talking about the stopgap acquisitions that the Texans have basically had, their offensive line ones.
You know, I'm fine with having good personalities if the guys are at least average, but Cam Robinson was outright bad last year. Outright bad. This is just eye test. Ed Ingram, who they signed, and Texans fans are going, he's not starting, he's depth. He sucks at depth. He allowed the highest pressure rate of guards, and that completely matches the eye test because he is terrible. He has yet to show any semblance of being a good player or even a tolerable player at guard in the NFL. Like, he should be off rosters. Then going Lakin Tomlinson. Supposed to be a great guy, leader, all that stuff, really has tailed off. Just especially some of the places he's been recently. But the Seahawks last year, he allowed the fourth highest one-on-one pressure rate among all guards. He was part of the issue in Seattle last year amongst all the other players.
So that's clearly high praise, right? But with that being the case and with that being the framework, he obviously is going to take offensive line here, right? He thinks that needs to be the place where it goes. And he said, you know, with Lakin Tomlinson or Ed Ingram, that can't be the plan, right? So at 25, he has the Texans taking offensive lineman from North Dakota State, Gray Zabel. And it's because Zabel has played all over the offensive line and would give the Texans or any offensive line the ability to play their best five. Mm-hmm. Whether it's center or guard, he would give C.J. Stroud and the Texans some offensive steadiness. And as much as, you know, he is coming down hard on the offensive line, I do respect what he's coming to here on the backside, which is Gray Zabel does have some flexibility, right? We were talking about it. I mean, he might be as close to a pet cat as our guy, John Harris, has, because he's shown an ability to compete at a high level. He looks good. The only real question is, like, what's the talent level he's played against? Mm-hmm. But his ability to play at various different places, especially as we continue to try and figure out what's the best configuration of this offensive line. If you talk about competition and getting, you know, figuring out who's the best, having a little flexibility with the dude that you know can drop in and be a day one starter, I think matters.
Absolutely. And I think Gray Zabel, I mean, perfect world. I think if you polled most people close to the Texans, and certainly Texans fans, because he's gotten so much run, would be sort of that versatile guy that can really find a home and maybe excel. And certainly on the inside is where he would start. I also want to know what Ed Ingram did to him. He hates that dude.
I think he peed in his cornflakes once.
I'm telling you, man. He shouldn't even be on a roster.
Wow. Yeah, I was like, Nate gonna mess around and find some haters in Houston on it without really even trying that hard. But yeah, like I kind of like what he's going for there. Gray Zabel, yeah. I found it hard to see any like negatives in the possibility of selecting Gray Zabel this draft for the Texans. No. I think the only thing that would maybe serve as some level of hiccup is, does Nick Caserio have a type? Like, is his type going to be typecast in a way?
Yeah.
Where every time that Nick Caserio puts in a card, the logo on that card better be from a Power 5 conference, right?
No, like, he does have that type, like, especially the SEC.
Right, and yeah. I don't know if you know this, North Dakota State.
Not the SEC.
Not that.
Yeah.
So I do wonder, like, and if Gray Zabel, there's been so much glowing said about him that you hope that maybe that would not be something that stops him. But if it does, how about this from the CBS Sports mock draft that came out recently? Again, this is after the Cam Robinson signing, and this one in particular is from Josh Edwards of CBS Sports. He puts together a mock draft that has at 26 the Texans, or sorry, 25. Mm-hmm. Goodness, they did not trade back
already.
But at 25, he has them taking Kelvin Banks Jr., saying that the signings of Cam Robinson, Laken Tomlinson, plus the addition or acquisition rather of Ed Ingram does not excite him about the future of the offensive line. However, it gives some options with the extensive history of starting in the NFL. And that's a point to start with, so you can go to best player available. Offensive line would clearly be a priority, and he goes, puts those things together for a Kelvin Banks Jr.
I love Kelvin Banks Jr. You've probably picked up on that already. I think, but I also wonder, is he a guard? Can he be a guard?
I think he can. We were talking to Charles earlier.
Because he's going to be drafted as a tackle.
Yes,
and
he's expected
to be a
tackle.
I feel as if the Texans probably feel pretty good about, well, as good as you can feel. They need to prioritize the interior.
They do. They really do. Interior pressure is a killer in the pocket. And
can he do that?
What, be a guard?
Yeah.
I think so. Like, that was one of the things that we were talking about with Charles. He was mentioning the idea of, he feels like a dude that has a little bit of mobility there, where he can be a guard and then eventually move out to tackle, which I do wonder if that's something that would work for the Texans, because the restructure with Titus Howard makes me wonder how long they are in the Titus Howard business.
Well, that's true.
Right? Is that a year? Is that 2 years? Because if it is like a relatively short term, especially if you still have him at some level of tackle or whatever, Cam Robinson is only a 1 year proposition. Mm-hmm. Could you have a Kelvin Banks who comes in and has the physicality to play guard for a year before sliding out to tackle as like a future tackle for you? Because again, I think that there's a lot of consideration that also still needs to be given for what does this offensive line look like in 2-3 years as you continue to try and contend with CJ Stroud. And having two guys that you feel like could develop into your tackles in the future could be really cool in Blake Fisher, and then adding Kelvin Banks.
Because if you could feel confident that he'd slide right in, play guard, not necessarily have any kind of learning curve or whatever, then yes, you know, sign me up for that. Maybe even over Gray Zabel. Probably over Gray Zabel.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, so that's how you're power ranking him thus far?
Probably.
And real quick, I know that Seth had been talking about the possibility of like maturity issues for Kelvin Banks.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to reach out to a friend of mine who works down there in Austin, has a little bit of insight into those things. And he said that the kid seems like he has a good head on his shoulders. Mm-hmm. It's always been pretty solid. I know that's not the end all be all by any means, but it seems like he was like, I don't see that from Kelvin Banks Jr. if that is a concern for you. All right. One more mock draft here in our mock draft check-in, and this is from Mike Band, NFL Network, and this is a very particular one, a type of mock draft, because this isn't just another kind of draft media scout. Mike Band is a next-gen stats researcher and analytics person, and he said for the 21st consecutive year, he assembled a mock draft ahead of the NFL draft for NFL.com, and the approach is research-driven. So he blends insider reports. So again, it's going to factor in some of those other reports. And I wonder if that factors in so much of the stuff that's happened hitherto, like, or before this, hitherto is not right, but before this, that, you know, didn't have the benefit of seeing the Cam Robinson signing or some of the other acquisitions. But he blends those team needs, scheme fits, and organizational philosophies to create odds.
So he's going data-driven probabilities.
Data-driven probability. So he has not only a selection, but then he also has...
I actually kind of like it. I'm intrigued.
He has the probabilities of the position that they draft with their first pick. So with 20 at 25 for the Texans, he has the Houston Texans taking Emeka Egbuka. He still has them taking a wide receiver here, obviously citing the idea of Tank Dell's injury and all that, the needs there. And he's still actually in his write-up, he's still... talks about Titus Howard being solidifying the left tackle. So clearly, this the mock was put together
before
the Cam Robinson signing, although it came out yesterday. The probabilities, though, I think are the interesting part of this. He sets the probabilities of the Texans drafting three positions. Those are the three highest positions. What do you think the three highest positions are that the Texans are drafting according to the research-driven Mike Bend mock draft?
Well, I know guard or interior lineman and receiver.
So offensive line, wide receiver, and what would be the third position that you throw in there?
My heart is kind of telling me tight end.
It is not tight end.
Yeah.
It's defensive line.
Yeah, I figured.
And here are the percentages. 49% offensive line is where he goes data-wise. 23% wide receiver, and a slim 9% that they go defensive line with the first pick.
I think that's probably accurate.
And I mean,
let's put it this way. I don't know accurate. I didn't do any research.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree. I'll put it that way.
And it's interesting because, again, he leans there while saying that the odds lean heavily towards the possibility of offensive line there. He goes with Emeka Egbuka, like a wide receiver to go and add into this. A wide receiver that, interestingly enough, like he just, there's not anything that you go, man, that is excellent in his rapport, but he just kind of gets it done.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of wide receiver. I do find it interesting because it does feel like, and maybe Christian Kirk has like the speed element to this. Where
right. So you can afford to maybe go with the guy that you feel runs good routes, reliable.
Right.
You know,
and
that kind of
maybe
thing.
I'm being a little bit of a hater or what have you, or maybe I'm being asking too much. But it kind of, I've kind of just gotten to the place in my mind where I've expected whatever receiver you add, I kind of would like a speed element still because, again, C.J. Stroud has such a good arm and capability of bombing on folks that you would still kind of want that. But maybe you consider the possibility of return of Tank Dell in the future and saying that you don't absolutely need that.
I think. Well, first of all, in general, I think the Texans went into this offseason thinking we need more speed just in general.
Yeah.
So that's maybe where your head is.
Yeah.
You saw this team. They were, I mean, they had speed, but they weren't a real fast team, you know, overall. So maybe that's what's in play there. But my other thing is, I think wide receiver now after these moves is absolutely, we talked about it yesterday. I think it's absolutely in play that wide receiver could be the pick there.
Now, there you go. So it's a little mock draft check in here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. I found that to be interesting. I'm going to hold on to those percentages because I do find that that's kind of going to ring in my mind, especially because we got to a point with this offensive line, we were like, oh, actually, it's high. I think we probably would have said 60-65% the offensive line.
At least.
Looks like 49, but there's still that solid possibility of a wide receiver first round, according to Mike Bend. We'll see how he actually comes through with this. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping here. And there's the possibility. There looks like somebody has stepped up. One champion has stepped up to possibly bring back hockey to the city of Houston. We'll talk about that more.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. A salute to the Cougs once more for putting up a dominant?
Oh, yeah.
Is there a better? I was about to say, I was like, I could say dominant, and that's easy and that's accurate, but I kind of want to get, I want to flex a little bit with vocabulary here. Can you find a better adjective for the Houston Cougars' 78-40 victory over SIU Edwardsville?
I'm thinking.
Okay.
What's a better one than dominant?
Yeah, I'm starting the bidding at dominant. 713-572-4610. If you got a better word, text it in. Let's see what we can come through. Because the Cougs out here, they put it on the table, man. 78-40. They smoked SIU Edwardsville. We were talking about it earlier. I loved it because your main players, the guys that are the real drivers of this team, honestly, pretty much everyone on this team got a solid rest because you were out early. You put the hurt on them very quickly, and then you were able to kind of rest guys and get ready.
Master P son got in.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. He got in the game.
I didn't even take
true freshman.
He sure did. He got involved. Everybody got in there. Everybody was in there. Like
what's his name? Mercy?
Yeah.
Is it Mercy?
Yeah.
Mercy
yes,
Miller.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And the Cougs open as a 5-point favorite over Gonzaga. That one
going to be a hell of a game.
Yeah, that'll only be tomorrow at 7:40 p.m. on TNT. But, yeah, I think that they're well situated for that game.
I'm still thinking about it. The only thing that's coming to mind is awe-inspiring.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Did it feel awe-inspiring? Because it felt kind of...
Everything they did was perfect.
It was. They were at one point, I need to go back and just pull up the box score because I was like, at one point they were 8 of 13 from 3 as well. And I was like, oh, okay, if you're going to do this then, if this is what it's going to be, somebody said curb stopped or boot stoppy.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I will allow you to coin terms. That'll work here.
Suck the life out of them.
Oh, okay. All right. I was worried where you were starting there. From the A through 2, prestigious performance. I like that.
Oh, prodigious. Maybe prodigious.
Prodigious. Okay, yeah. I like prodigious. Mm-hmm. I think we workshopped that. Keep them coming. I want to see that. Mm-hmm. Also, I guess if you want to add into the adjective game for the Aggies, who got an 80-71 win over the nerds of Yale.
Yeah.
That was solid. They opened as a 2.5-point favorite over Michigan.
Yeah, that's going to be another really good game. Michigan, they had all they could handle against UNC. Was it UN San Diego? Something like that.
UC San Diego. Who I kind of had winning, but of course my bracket is stupid. Don't listen to me. Commanding.
Did I mention
win?
I'm 15-1 after?
I've heard
day?
Somebody was saying. I don't remember who. Commanding win comes in. Crushing.
Crushing's good.
It was an ass whooping. Good old fashioned. Yeah. You got to add good old fashioned in front of ass whooping. You can't just say it was an ass whooping. It has to be good. What are the dirty ass whoopings? Because I feel like it's always a good one. Mm-hmm. It's always a good old fashioned ass. A pillaging. Okay. Very good. Assertive. Oh, y'all got the words out here.
First of all, you're throwing too many big words.
That's a lot of them.
Okay. Now, because I don't understand them, I'm going to take them as disrespect.
All right. A couple of other things that are popping. Shout out to all the folks that love hockey in Houston, because there's more signs to the possibility that might come to fruition in the form of a National Hockey League team. American billionaire Dan Friedkin has emerged as a strong ownership option to bring the NHL to Houston, according to ESPN. So he obviously is head CEO of the Friedkin Group, Houston-based, clearly. And they recently got into the sports ownership game. In 2020, they got into ownership of an Italian Serie A football club, soccer club, if you want to go that way. AS Roma, who they've done some interesting things as well in the recent time. They became majority owners of Everton, another soccer club. So they were getting into the soccer game. They were considering possibly getting into the Boston Celtics bid, where we'll talk about that here in a second as well, in the NBA, but they didn't do that. And so they're getting into the ownership business, and really, this could be a great one, bringing back the Arrows, I'm assuming. It have to be that, right? Like, I don't know if there's a better
option. I feel like it would.
But bringing back hockey to Houston.
You never know. They might change it, but all I'm hearing is this dude is serious about spending big money on sports. And you know, he's got, you mentioned it, AS Roma and Everton and all that. And the thing that really has to jump out is the quote that was in the story, and that is a number of occasions have had meetings with the NHL. So it means it's kind of progressing.
Bettman.
Yeah.
Don't be scared, baby.
Yeah.
Houston's ready for it.
Houston is ready for it. I still say I don't know, how sustainable it is. It's going to be hot for a long time. That's for sure.
What do you mean, outside hot?
It's going to be a hot ticket, hot commodity for a long time.
I was being a jerk.
It's all right.
I'm just like, it's hot. It's an abusive win for the Cougars. Mm-hmm. Next level hoops, total takeover. Oh, well, that's wordy. Sexy. All right, sexy always works.
Sexy win.
It was a drubbing. All right, I like
that. I like drubbing.
They got they decimated them boys. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. UH had a bodacious win. Bodacious. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, yeah, that's fun, man. Shout out to Dan Friedkin. Go ahead and make that happen for
Impaling.
Me, man.
Impaling.
Impaling. Okay.
They impaled him.
All right. Like Vlad?
Yeah, yeah.
I just thought about it. I'm like, are we going to have to start calling a Toyota Center a barn now?
Why?
Like, you know how in hockey they're like,
it's
not just the arena. It's like, oh, yeah, the home barn or whatever. Because Toyota Center doesn't feel like a barn at all.
Does not look like a barn. Does not feel like a barn by any stretch. But, I mean, it seems real this time.
It really,
it's been talked about for decades.
There's enough smoke here, right? And then, obviously, Commissioner Bettman of the NHL, he's done a decent amount of work to try and, like, tamp down conversation about potential expansion. But they've had a lot of expansion talk. Mm-hmm. And he rattled off a list of potential cities that have expressed interest, like Omaha, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Atlanta, Salt Lake City, and, of course, Houston. It feels like
none of them can hold a candle.
Yeah, it feels like they've tried. The only other city that is comparable is Atlanta. Maybe you could say Kansas City, but I would not go that far.
No, I don't think
anybody in Houston would. In Atlanta, they've tried that many a time. Mm-hmm. They've tried that a few times, and it has not stuck.
Yeah.
Why not give Houston a good old try?
Yeah. No,
go ahead
I agree.
And do that.
I agree.
All right. Some other things that are popping. Which way do you want to go here? Because there's a couple places that we can go, and I want to get somewhere that you want to hit.
I'm good.
Okay. ESPN. There was an interesting kind of, rumor. I don't know if I want to call it a full report yet, but it does seem like such. It's from an entity called Cord Cutters News. So take that for what you will. But there's a rumor out there that ESPN wants to spend $2 billion to buy the NFL Network, NFL Red Zone, and NFL Plus. I mean, $2 billion is clearly a whole bunch of money, but and this is from actually The Athletic, so I want to make sure I give them credit, that ESPN could shell up to $2 billion to just bring NFL media under their purview, taking control of all these things. I've often felt like NFL media is the best of, like, the, if you want to call them, state-run media, right, for lack of a better term.
That's
like
what it is.
The ones that are under under the purview of the actual organizations that they cover. And I don't know how much I love the idea of ESPN
taking I'm glad you said that.
Purview over.
I feel...
You don't want to see Stephen A. Smith hosting any Red Zone
Where
stuff?
Else would they... Would
Joe
they put
Burrow! Yeah.
We gonna go to the next game right here.
That's part of the reason...
The New York football Giants. Oh, wait. We gonna watch... Wait, after this replay, right? Man, it's gonna be a disaster.
I'm conflicted on this because I get it, and obviously, you know, it would be good for ESPN. I don't care about ESPN, but it would be good for them. It'd be good for the, you know, the breadth of the audience that can watch this. But I also feel like it would ESPN would be something of just more a sellout. Like, this is state run media,
and ESPN has always been. I mean, look, the partnerships that media companies have. Have always impacted the way that they cover the
to
teams
a degree.
They have, like, to agree, especially like when you talk about the ones that are actually having like the TV partners. Those have been really, like, it's been evident, right? We talked about this with baseball. That was the cause of contention, is the idea that, hey, we are a partner, except you are not treating us with the level of reverence that we expect from a partnership of this case. And ESPN was like, yeah, what have you done for us? And that ultimately dissolved a relationship.
You're gonna talk more WNBA.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's also another thing where that has been a level of partnership that has happened that has helped to advance the status of the women's basketball professional game. Mm-hmm. So in that same way, I find this interesting for the NFL, but like the NFL, I guess you stand to make money off of it, and now you no longer have to have the, you know, active control.
But they will. That's my worry. They will have active control.
Yeah, but you're not in charge. You would not have to worry about
the production
of it.
Not production.
But they always do, right? Even in the purview of ESPN, I imagine that if the NFL, you know, gets I don't know, attentive about it, or like gets a little sensitive about something that's said, they can easily go to ESPN and get things moved around.
They can, but ESPN at least has some level of, hey, we're your partner, we want to help, but you cannot tell us, you know, what to do. I feel like being with the NFL Network, you can tell them what to do.
And
you
know?
Do it seem like the NBA kind of tell ESPN what to do a little bit too?
Again, I think it's a partnership that they lean towards the NFL and give them the benefit of the doubt. But this is not like, oh, no, you can't run that story. And I think that's where we would go. That's what it would end up being.
Yeah. I don't know. I actually am not looking at it from that perspective. Mm-hmm. It's just the incentives that ESPN has kind of leads to the way that they cover it, where you get a ton of Cowboys and those types of things. And that still kind of comes up a little bit in like NFL Network, but not nearly to the same degree. And I would hate to see those things kind of shift. But that remains to be seen. We'll see if that ultimately goes. They said state-run media like Sports Radio 610. No.
That's the last thing we are.
Like, this is, we're not like, it's not
have
owned
you been
and operated
listening for any amount of time.
It's not owned and operated in that same way, right? Like, this is a separate entity. It's closer to a partnership, or it is a partnership, right? That we have obviously with the Texans here. So I don't think that would fall in that particular purview, but I get what you're trying to say.
You can see these calls and emails we got for stuff we didn't say on here.
Not me, though. I'm perfect. Yeah. So there you go. And I guess I can slide this in here when it comes to what's popping. Or actually, you know what? I got to make sure to get back on this Jim Mather, the Texas Hammer text line. Because somebody said it was a preseason win for U of H.
I say somebody earlier said it was they played a high school team.
Yeah, well, it looked like it.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah.
U of H ate their children. Do I have to say it in the voice? Do I have to say it in the Mike Tyson voice? Yeah. I'm going to eat your children. They said it was Mickey Mouse, I imagine, points to the ESPN. Stomped the Texas-sized mud hole in their ass. Okay, very good. And then they OG sauced them boys.
Yeah,
okay.
I like that one.
All right, very good. Very good. Is that the one that we're going to go with?
I think Lopez texted the text line.
Yeah, apparently so. I didn't see him get on his phone. I don't know how he did it, but there's something in there. And then from the 832, it was a belt-to-ass performance. Your damn Skippy was. Hopefully, can do another one, and if they do, like, I think if they could find a way to do, not exactly replicate, but give a same type of feeling in a game versus Gonzaga,
then
it might be easy.
Odds on favorites.
Crotch first. Yeah. Is how I'm walking with this with these Cougars. But yeah, those we've got a couple of really interesting games for Cougs and the Aggies tomorrow. This is fun games right now. Well, fun is relative. Right now,
close.
We got it. Yes, yes. Well, it's fun for me because I enjoy like complaining as a person. And so Baylor, Mississippi State is going on as we speak. And this is one of those games where it's college basketball as hell, man. Yeah. They out here missing multiple layups and getting rebounds, jumping all over the place in a way that feels like they don't have full control
is what he's saying.
Of their limbs and bodies. But it's close.
Yeah, 27-23,
they're playing hard.
I think. Yeah.
They're playing hard. Mm-hmm. Gave them boys a third ward beat down. Okay, I all like right. it. Keep all it right. coming. This
Let's
is
go
fun.
With that one. I like that one.
Yeah. Ah, this is a good one from Marcus on the Mo Karam Injury Lawyer live stream. They showed no mercy.
They did.
Because Mercy Miller played. You see it? All right, okay. Very good. All right. Coming up next here in the loop. You may not have paid a lot of attention to this. We mentioned that the Boston Celtics had a sale yesterday, but it seems like there's a possibility of it having ramifications on the sports landscape, especially in Houston. I'll tell you what I mean next.